Blog Talk Radio. Live from Omaha, Nebraska, it's Conversations with John Curry Sr. on the Forward Boldly Network. And now here's your host, John Curry Sr.
Thank you and good evening. And welcome. We're going to start the broadcast with two prayers tonight. We do them in Latin if you're a new listener, so don't worry about it, but you'll recognize the prayers, I'm sure. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Pater noster qui es in caelis, sanctificator nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittibus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. And the second prayer, Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus tui, Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, et nunc et in semper and in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Good evening and welcome to Conversations with John Curry Sr. We are live from Omaha, Nebraska on this Sunday evening, the 6th of March. We're getting close to springtime now. Everybody's getting spring fever. That's a good thing. We're also midway through Lent, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight as a topic. I thought we'd do a little examination of conscience, if you will, on the air. So our topic is going to be midway Lenten examination. And we encourage your participation. I have some mail this week I want to share with you. From time to time, I mention a very wonderful organization, Catholic organization based in Virginia, called Human Life International. They have a dynamic president, young priest, whose name is Father Shannon Boquet. The last name is spelled B-O-Q-U-E-T. And I met Father Boquet a couple of years ago. I'm very, very impressed with his passion for the faith and particularly for his passion for human life. He sends out a new newsletter every once in a while, and of course he's always looking for money because this is a worldwide organization. But the subject of this newsletter I thought was worth sharing to our audience because it's on the new virus called Zika, Z-I-K-A. I'm not even sure how to, I'm pronouncing that correctly. It might be Zika, but it's spelled Z-I-K-A. Here's what Father says. According to the World Health Organization, approximately 4 million people have come down with Zika in the past 9 months alone. I want to stop right there because the World Health Organization, from a statistical standpoint, is a disaster. And I don't believe any of the numbers that they publish. However, this is a problem of some importance. Many organizations are saying that this virus is, quote, scary and spreading explosively, close quote. Father says it's also being used very effectively by pro-abortion forces seeking to expand their influence in regions previously opposed to abortion. brothers and sisters, you should know that many parts of the world are very much against abortion. So, and we're supposedly the leader in the world, and look what we're doing, genocide. Some nations within our own hemisphere are among the most pro-life or uphold the most strict restrictions on the barbaric practice of murdering babies in the womb. But now, these pro-life nations are under attack for their stance on protecting the innocent unborn. Many in the media immediately accepted the claim that Zika causes microcephaly, that which is an abnormal smallness of the head, in babies whose mothers contracted the virus while pregnant. But although we still have no conclusive evidence about the effects of Zika on among pregnant women, the push to end pregnancies with little indication of Zika is alarming and reprehensible. Now, this is typical. This is typical of the kind of stuff that goes on. It really begins in the United States with the American press, and it just goes like fury around the world, okay? We get some issue that they can take and use for their own evil purposes. The Brazil Ministry of Health noted that, quote, 96% of the cases of microcephaly occurred without the mothers having been infected with the Zika virus at all, close quote, 96%. And in Colombia, where Zika has also spread, authorities have not seen an increase in the cases of microcephaly. These are, Father digs these facts out to get them hopefully to the American people and get you informed. Yet, that is not what you will hear from the pro-abortion forces. Take El Salvador, for example. El Salvador maintains severe restrictions and criminal penalties for those practicing abortive procedures. Brazil is another nation with strong anti-abortion laws. It is here where the Zika outbreak has been exceptionally severe, and that has fueled a lot of pro-abortion, progressive agenda people and their arguments. Both El Salvador and Brazil are now under serious attack by the pro-abortion forces to loosen abortion restrictions. And then Father says, as if abortion is a cure. At Human Life International, we are standing firm in our convictions, but do need your help to do so. You see, your donations today will go exclusively to our fund to expose the lies of the pro-abortion zealots. I hope you will join our fight to combat these lies and errors. Please help us in exposing the agenda of the anti-life groups. In the book of St. John, we read, quote, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made, close quote. The bottom line, of course, is God does not make mistakes. Thank you for your continued support and prayers. You are truly building a pro-life army like no other. Sincerely yours in Christ, Father Shannon Bouquet. If you have your pencils handy, I'm going to give you how you can reach these people. And by the way, if you have a few coins in your pocket, this would be a very good Lenten almsgiving target to send. The name of the organization is Human Life International. Their address is 4 Family Life Lane. They're located in Front Royal, Virginia. The zip code is 22630. They have a website. Their website is www.hli.org, and their phone is area code 540 1-800-835-7884. So I encourage you, if you feel this is a worthy cause, to send them a donation. Father is a wonderful, wonderful priest, and he reaches out for this help, and he's doing wonderful things around the world. This organization is making a difference, and is genuinely Catholic. I can assure you of that. I would not plug anything that was not on these broadcasts, and our regular listeners know that, I'm sure, by now. Okay. That's the first thing. Now, where is my, here it is. Okay, last week we talked about suffering, all right? And about some comments, which were good. I was doing some spiritual reading this week, as I do every week, and I came across a short essay, a couple of paragraphs, Suffering as Seen by St. Paul and St. Padre Pio. Now, there's an interesting combination, isn't it? Both had the stigmata, you know that. Both St. Paul and Padre Pio had the stigmata, so they knew about suffering. You have the stigmata, you know about it. I found this in a book, and it's called Through the Year with Padre Pio. It's one of the many books that were written about Padre Pio. This is number 179, and it's called The Suffering of Saints and Everyone. St. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians, and that's the citation, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The verses are 24 to 27. Here's what he said. 5 times I have received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I have been shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been adrift at sea. 3 frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. That's suffering. Padre Pio, in his letter, volume 1, letter number 204, you want to know the condition of my health in 1910, when Pio was forced by atrocious health to return to his family home, unable to live in the friary, a state which lasted 7 years. So here I come to satisfy you. Thanks be to God. I have hardly vomited at all since Christmas, whereas previously I could retain nothing but water. I feel a good deal stronger, so that I can walk a little without much difficulty. But what refuses to leave me is the fever, which pays me a visit almost every day towards evening and is followed by abundant sweating. My cough and the pains in my chest and back are what cause me continual suffering more than anything else. Now, there are some things to think about to get us in the mood for our midway Lenten examination tonight, isn't it? Two great saints, two of the greatest saints in heaven, St. Paul and St. Padre Pio. both honored by the suffering of the stigmata. That's something to contemplate. That's beautiful. That's really, really beautiful. I'd also like to talk a bit about our deceased Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. He was a Catholic first, then he was a judge. He was a Catholic first, then he was a father and a husband. He was a Catholic first, and then he was a grandfather. His Catholicity always came before everything else in his life. George Weigel wrote a very interesting in memoriam on Antonin Scalia. And I want to just share a couple of paragraphs with you because I think it's beautifully written. Justice Scalia was not only a distinguished jurist, he was a wonderful man, full of vitality and humor. He made no secret of his intense Catholicism bred in him in his youth, nor did he hesitate to express his concerns when the church seemed to him to be coming unmoored from the great tradition on which it was grounded. The old lawyer and Antonin Scalia certainly have that in common. He was a devoted husband and father, and his friendships extended far beyond the range of those who agreed with his jurisprudence. A man of honor and a dedicated public service, he was, with Henry Hyde, one of the two most influential Catholics in national affairs during his years in Washington. He will be sorely missed, not only by those of us privileged to know him, but by anyone who cares about intelligence and integrity in public life. I'll just give you a couple more, and I want you to really think about these now. Listen to this. There will be an enormous political struggle, over filling his seat on the court. It is far too early to know how that struggle will resolve itself. But it's not too early to do Justice Scalia one more honor and ask the question, why is that struggle so crucial? Why has the Supreme Court become such a leviathan in our national public life? Something is wrong here. Last June, one man, Justice Anthony Kennedy, decided on behalf of 322 million Americans that the Constitution included a, quote, right, close quote, for people of the same sex to, quote, marry, close quote, each other. Put aside the fact that his reasoning was so spacious, indeed vacuous, that the keener proponents of same-sex marriage were dismayed by it and are trying to find another case that would put their right on a firmer constitutional ground. Put aside the fact previously noted that after Justice Scalia's dissent from the Kennedy opinion, the dental records were needed to identify the remains. Look that up and read that dissent. It was as scathing as anybody could ever get. And you see, we continue, many Catholics continue in this error, which is that rebuking an error is in public is wrong. that we are not being kind, that we are not being gracious. What about truthful? Christ rebuked the scribes and Pharisees many times. He did it publicly. I remind our audience, the scribes and Pharisees were the politicians and lawyers of that day. Something to think about, isn't it? I want to give you one more, and this is kind of at the bottom of the barrel, because that's where it deserves to be, at the bottom of the barrel. The New York Archdiocese, whose titular head is Cardinal, I don't want him to say his last name, Cardinal Timothy Dolan. Now, he came there in 2009, and he inherited a homosexual and lesbian nest in the chancery, the likes of which nobody in this world could imagine. So we can't blame him for that. But we certainly can fault him publicly for doing absolutely nothing about it. Our friends at the Church Militant, particularly Michael Voris, has been following things in the Archdiocese for several months now, since the big scandal about the priest who was paying a prostitute, male prostitute, and stealing money from the parishioners to do it, became public. And Michael has tried to have an audience with the Cardinal Archbishop. He's been rebuffed at every turn. He wanted to have an audience with him to turn over additional evidence, which has been uncovered, to the Archbishop, Cardinal Archbishop, privately for his own information and handling. That's been rebuffed again. Testimony that Michael has come up with from priests and other insiders tell us that the Cardinal Archbishop has told the homosexually active priests and lesbian nuns in his archdiocese to just keep a lid on, and he won't give them any trouble. You heard me. We have that on the record. That's worse than error. That's sanctioning sin. That's awful. My brothers and sisters in the Archdiocese of New York, I encourage you with every fiber of my being to make noise about this. Write to Rome. Oh, I know the letters will be intercepted, but do it anyway. Write the Chancery. I know the same thing will happen there, but do it anyway. Cardinal Archbishop has to understand that his errors of omission are not only not tolerated by Catholics, they're despised. And until he knows that, nothing's going to change. We pray for him every day. Next week, I'm going to have a topic called Can We Ever Forgive Them? And one of the people we're going to try to forgive, but it's very, very difficult, are errant bishops and cardinals. There are some others in the list. Okay, that's enough of that stuff. It's time to work for the Lord now. If you'd like to talk to us tonight about a midway Lenten examination, I've got some provocative, direct at you questions coming up after the break here. You can do so. You can call us at area code 646-716-4669. Many of you stream the broadcast, and we understand that. And if you want to talk about that, you can reach me during the week. I'll be in the office the entire week this week here in Omaha. The office hours are 8 through 5, Monday through Friday. That's Central Standard Time. And our phone there is area code 402-330-4187. You can also reach me on my email at johncurry@cox, that's C-O-X dot net. A couple of websites that we refer you to. The first one would be www.johnmcurry.com. That has information on it regarding books we've written, CDs, broadcasts we've done. The most recent thing is the television series we did on the Fiat ministrynetwork.tv on how to teach the catechism using internet television. We do have discs available now, 10 hours on these discs, and a 13-page instructional brochure, if you will, and these can be accessed online at www.johnmcurry.com. We also want you to avail yourself of the free use of our Forward Boldly Network website. And that is www.forwardboldly.com. And you just click on there and find the old warrior's visage, and you scroll down, and towards the bottom, you'll see a listing of all of the broadcasts by date and the topic. And a lot of our listeners have used this, frankly, when they get in discussions or conversations with friends, neighbors, etc., and there's disagreements, they access one of these because all of these broadcasts contain citations from the Catechism, Sacred Scripture, Canon Law, encyclicals, etc. In other words, they're just filled with the truth. And that's how you slay falsehood. So take advantage of that. Use that, my brothers and sisters. We really encourage you to do that. Okay, that takes care of that. We'll do our hot topic statement, and then we're going to take a break. I'm alerting the studio in about a minute or so to get ready. That we love and deeply respect all steadfast Catholic anointed and consecrated people, bishops, priests, deacons, brothers, and nuns. Our motivation in doing these broadcasts is not to challenge or replace the teaching authority of the Magisterium, as expressed in items 84 through 100 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Our desire is to strengthen it. This apostolate is based upon our speaking and writing, with the only goal being the salvation of souls. We have no other agenda. By the way, if we save one, that's a home run. We're not into counts or numbers or anything here. We just keep going week after week with that objective. We promise that all of our speaking and writing conforms completely to the companion of faith as expressed in that catechism, which we will not alter in any way. And I believe this message to be so important that it will be repeated at the conclusion of my formal remarks this evening. It's time for that first break now. You're listening to Conversations with John Curry Sr. on the Forward Boldly Radio Network. When we come back, we'll begin to get into our topic tonight, which is Midway Lenten Examination. We ask you to please stay tuned. Thank you.
You're listening to Forward Boldly Radio. The title of this radio network is taken from the battle cry of Saint Joan of Arc. Riding before the army of soldiers, holding high her battle standard on which was emblazoned the names of Jesus and Mary, she would cry out, "In God's name, forward boldly." Like Saint Joan, who displayed courage and fearlessness in the face of the enemy, we also are called to ride out boldly to fight on behalf of truth, rescuing souls from death, using the weapons of prayer, sacrifice, personal holiness, and evangelism through word and deed. And like this saint, we are called to take the offense, not meant merely to sit back and ward off the blows that may come. We are, rather, called to ride forth to wage war against the enemy and attack, giving no quarter. Because of her tenacity, courage, fidelity, and humility, this network has been entrusted to the care of the little maid, that through her intercession it may be used as a vessel to spread truth and crush error. So in the words of Saint Joan of Arc, in God's name, forward boldly.
Thank you very much. Yes, we're going to go forward boldly tonight. Saint Joan of Arc is the patron of this network, and she had no fear. We can't have any fear either. We have to move forward fearlessly in defense of our faith. Our affiliate, churchmilitant.tv, has Saint Michael the Archangel, the greatest warrior of heaven, as their patron. Okay. Midway Lenten examination by your old wire. How are we doing in our quest to make 2016 Lent our best Lent ever? You'll recall that that question was our topic on the first Sunday of Lent 2 weeks ago. Now we're halfway home. Do we need to make any mid-course corrections? I asked myself first that question. Any mid-course corrections? Or did any of us fail to leave the starting gate a couple of weeks ago? Possibility also, isn't it? Your old warrior began this self-evaluation on Leap Year Day. I thought that was a perfect day to begin it. February the 29th, last week. And then I thought about, wait a minute, how about my audience? Shouldn't I get them involved in this too? How are they doing? I have no clue. But I'm going to ask you the question, how are you doing? As my regular listeners know, I formed this apostolate of speaking and writing over 10 years ago. And I was kicking and screaming, but the urging of two senior priests prevailed. They spoke to me lovingly and they spoke to me severely. they both thought I could be a better Catholic. And their judgment was correct. You see what that direct frontal assault will do? So while still having a lot to work on, this old man knows that I am a much better Catholic today than I was previously. My evaluation of my Lent so far tells me that. And that if I stay the course, this Lent will be my best Lent since my childhood. And brothers and sisters, that was a long time ago. A very long time ago, more than 65 years ago, if you want to know how long ago it was. So what's going on? Oh, I find myself praying more. I'm meditating more. And yes, at times, I am suffering more. Suffering must always be welcomed. And it must be embraced during this holy season of Lent. As a result of these actions, I am much more at peace. The invocation, "May the peace of our Lord be always with you," which is an integral part of the Holy Mass, now rings in my heart. And how about my brothers and sisters in Christ? Can some direct questions tonight prod them to make further efforts for the second half of this holy season? I went to 1 Corinthians for some ammo. Chapter 12, verses 27 and 29, which read, quote, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it," close quote. And then it continues, "Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do all work miracles?" Close quote. Of course, the answer to Paul's series of questions in that epistle are negative for most of us. We're not apostles, we're not prophets. Most of us aren't teachers, and we can't work miracles either. But as members of Christ's body, each of us are called to full membership. Have you ever thought about that? So here's my first question. Are we answering that call? That's my first direct question this evening. Are we answering that call? Brothers and sisters, that call is not on our cell phones. That call is in our hearts. Are we answering that call? We can't hear that call if we let the noise of the world drown it out. We can't hear that call if we let the distractions of the world enter our soul. We must make room to hear the call through penance and self-denial and mortification and prayer. Our souls are then prepared to hear and answer that call. All of us are not called by God to save souls and propagate His glory by the noble apostolate of preaching. I was called, but many of you are not called to that. One can promote God's glory and work for the salvation of souls by means of a truly Christian life. That's right. By praying without ceasing that, quote, His kingdom come, close quote. That His name, quote, be hallowed, close quote. That, quote, we may not be led into temptation, close quote. And that He, quote, deliver us from evil, close quote, seb libera nos amalo. My sisters and brothers, that is what we ought to do, offering ourselves continually to the Lord for this purpose. Those thoughts are not my own, but come from some spiritual reading of the lives of the saints. We are answering that call by leading a truly Christian life, wherein God always comes first. Recall we mentioned Antonin Scalia. He was a Catholic first. We should be the same. We are answering that call by praying without ceasing for the salvation of souls. One great short prayer that your old warrior recommends is the prayer of Saint Gertrude the Great, which reads as follows. And by the way, this prayer, Saint Gertrude was promised by our Lord that every time she said this prayer, 1,000 souls would be released from purgatory and go to heaven. Here's the prayer. It's very short. Eternal Father, I offer thee the most precious blood of thy divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen. Again, that short prayer covers all the bases, and each time we say it, 1,000 souls are released from purgatory and go to heaven. Did you time how long it took me to say that prayer? It's about 30 seconds. Certainly we can spare 30 seconds a day, can't we, to pray for others? We are answering that call, treating the name of the Lord as hallowed always. And by the way, when someone takes the name of the Lord thy God in vain in your presence, you should rebuke them on the spot. But do you? Or are you afraid of making waves? We should always pray that we are not led into temptation. And ask the Lord to deliver us from evil. Brothers and sisters, that's why we say the Lord's Prayer at the beginning of each and every broadcast. I also say it at the beginning of each and every public address that I give to Catholic audiences. So we begin with the very petitions I've just covered. Then I had a second major question come into my mind. And that question was, are all of our actions selfless? Pride kills the spirit. Let us examine our actions this Lent to date to see if they are truly selfless. Is our motivation to be seen by others as making a good Lent? If so, why? If it's to help them by example, that's good. But if it's to enhance our own self-esteem, that's bad. Everybody got that? There's all kinds of scripture on this point. But first, we need to take a good look within ourselves. That's called an examination of conscience, wherein we open up ourselves to our faults and our failures. We stand before a mirror with only God present. What do we now see? We see the nakedness of our being, absolute reliance upon the mercy of God. We recall the many saints who describe themselves as mere pebbles on a very large beach. But we are all unique pebbles, made in the image and likeness of God. Now we can repeat that second question again. Are all of our actions selfless? And yet, before truthfully answering, we may need to go back to that mirror a second or even a third time. Finally, we admit that our actions haven't been selfless. But we do have the second half of Lent to make atonement. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm leading you through a process of meditation, a series of steps to put on the garland of victory. And then we go on to the next direct question. Why take any action at all? Why don't we just sit here, invisible to the world? And that question, these questions, lead us to outward signs. Let's put our thinking caps on now. Can we think of any outward signs in the Catholic Church? How about the sacraments? Let's go to item number 6 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That's in the prologue section at the very front to answer these questions. The subject is catechesis itself as the answer to any and all of the old wires' direct questions. Quote, they are the initial proclamation of the gospel or missionary preaching to arouse faith. Things like Go therefore and teach all nations. Examination of the reasons for belief. Experience of Christian living. The celebration of the sacraments. Integration into the ecclesial community. And apostolic and missionary witnesses. Close quote. The sacraments, quote, actions being performed, close quote, ex opere operato. They are the power of Christ and his spirit acting in and through the mystical body. Reference there is 1128 in the Catechism, if you're interested, 1128. And their fruits depend upon the disposition of the one who receives them. Brothers and sisters, that's us. It's time for our second break. You're listening to Conversations with John Curry Sr. on the Forward Boldly Radio Network. We come back in a couple of minutes. We'll have another half an hour to go through this rest of this subject, and we ask you to please stay tuned.
You're listening to Forward Boldly Radio. Please visit our main page at forwardboldly.com, where you can learn more about our programming and access all our hosts' archived shows. Our hosts, comprised of both clergy and laity, are all faithful to the magisterium and provide solid commentary on various aspects of Catholic orthodoxy and orthopraxy. The mission of Forward Boldly Radio is to spread the light of the one true faith through online media. And we take our name from St. Joan of Arc, who, when riding into battle with the army of soldiers, would hold high her battle standard and cry out, "In God's name, forward boldly." We hope you'll join us in our mission by sharing our shows, praying for us, and if possible, donating to help offset the costs of running this network. All our content is free. Again, you can find us at forwardboldly.com and on Facebook. Thank you for your support, and in the words of St. Joan of Arc, in God's name, forward boldly.
Thank you. Just before the break, we began to talk about actions being performed. Actions. It occurs to me that we have to act to get inside that confessional. We have to act to do penance. We have to act to be mortified. We have to act to give alms. And we have to act to pray. The laws of nature balance actions and reactions. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Close quote. The words of our Lord and Savior require action. So, hear me. Can we conclude that the season of Lent is a season of action? I have done so. And then began to think of all the inaction, such as sins of omission, sins of omission, committed by the hierarchy in my lifetime, sitting on their hands, hiding in their lavish chanceries and rectories, idly doing the bidding of Satan, while the Holy Father tries to implore them to live out their ordinations according to canon law. As laity, our actions begin with prayer that they amend their errant ways, and then extend into challenging them to do their duties. Oh, I know this action is hard. This pursuit is hard. We are often intimidated by their seeming power and misused authority. But we are truly called to action. So now let's review the first half of this treatise and its three questions in case you're taking notes. One, are we answering that call? Two, in answering, are all our actions selfless? And three, why take any action at all? I'm going to give you some further answers here now. As baptized Catholics, we are members of the mystical body of Christ. And as members, that membership demands fully acting on its requirements. When we were confirmed, we became soldiers of Christ, not bystanders. We're in the battle, not on the sidelines. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, in today's society, if you can't feel the heat of battle all around you, you are truly lost. My good friend, Father Val J. Peter, said to me last Sunday, John, has the world ever been in worse shape than it is right now? Father knows that I've studied Catholic history. I said to him in reply, you and I both know it's awful. But the average Catholic doesn't know what they don't know. It's so frustrating when you preach and they cannot connect the dots because of their youth and inexperience. The two of us have noticed the same thing over the past 10 years. Then we went back to our reminiscing childhoods of the 1940s and 50s in our parish, Holy Cross. It seems like ages and ages and ages ago. The difference is so stark, so pronounced, my brothers and sisters. I think we both realize that being a senior priest or a senior Catholic layman is not easy today. People look askance when you make a direct and profound statement of doctrine. And we read their minds and hear them saying, quote, "That old guy is crazy," close quote. No, we're not crazy. Nor are we senile. Just very orthodox Catholic believers trying to do the Lord's work against a rising tide of modernism and relativism. Our colleague Michael Voris had a vortex this past week about the Bishop of Yakima, Washington. Now, this is not a big diocese, brothers and sisters, 41 parishes and 7 schools. It's really small. This bishop, who thinks immigration reform is more important than fighting against abortion, does. A nationally known convert, female speaker, converted, by the way, at the time of the priest's sexual scandal, came out to the diocese to raise funds for a vehicle that they use to give ultrasounds and so forth. They park in front of the abortion clinics. And the bishop instructed his priests not to be involved, because this woman did not agree with his position on immigration reform, which of course is no position from a doctrinal standpoint. Is everybody following me? Life is way more important than immigration reform. Immigration reform, while laudable, is not doctrinal. Abortion is. And yet the United States Council of Catholic Bishops, that's where he came up with this, I'm sure, spend a disproportionate amount of time on the former while genocide continues. That's why old priests and old laymen get angry. Because you see, ecclesia wants to be popular with the stance taken in Washington these days. And that is absolutely unforgivable. But maybe not. We're going to talk about that next week. That's terrible, my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's really terrible. And it's the kind of error, the typical kind of error, that triggered Father Val's question to me. And by the way, if you don't know, this man has multiple doctorate degrees, has written 35 books, retired executive director of Boys Town, and the smartest man I've ever met. And I've met some pretty smart people. The three questions I pose this evening have as their background the preparation necessary to fight the successful spiritual battle these days. Every Catholic, that's all of us, everyone must offer personal resistance. But as your old warrior looks around, I see that the average Catholic today believes that what they're seeing is the church, whereas it's really a deception orchestrated by the master of lies, the fallen archangel, Lucifer. Almost everyone in the current and past generation, that's 50 years plus, has no real experiential concept of actual Catholicism, authentic and true. There is no historical realization that the church has existed for almost 2,000 years. And only since the 1960s has it lost its dogmatic and moral compass, largely due to a rudderless and improperly formed hierarchy. And the root of that, of course, is homosexuality in the seminaries. No less an expert than Benedict XVI came to this same sad realization. Embedded here is why I feel so passionately about the importance of this Lent and proper participation in it. My soul is longing and yearning for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out to the living God. The beautiful words of an old psalm, that's Psalm 84. Should summarize our mood at mid-Lent. We should be taking stock of whether our hearts and minds are really tuned into the Spirit. Or whether this Lent, like those previous, is just, quote, a puff of smoke, close quote. And I'm not talking about the smoke coming from an incenser either. To you I call, for you will surely heed me, O Lord. Turn your ear to me. Hear my words. Guard me as the apple of your eye. In the shadow of your wings, protect me. Another old psalm, that's 17. Offering our lamentations to the source of salvation. Here's the age-old request. But where's the action on our part? It has to be way more than begging and pleading. It must involve our self-giving. It must involve our doing. And cannot be a passive exercise. Am I hopefully arousing a few of you? Can you hear the passion in my voice tonight? There is urgency now. Time on this earth is fleeting. and soon our own existence will become timeless. There's a theme to carry us forward, even if we have been listless during these first 3 weeks. That period is time spent, never to return. But time still remains for those of us longing for the light. Let my steps be guided by your promise. May evil never rule me. That's a third old Psalm, 119. Acknowledging that a proper observance of Lent schools us and we receive spiritual nourishment from the Word of God through a union with Him in prayer. Now there is an action: increased prayer, increased devotion, increased sacrifice yields increased love. The love of God is unlimited, whereas our love bears all the human limitations of our species. As much as we try to ratchet it up, we can never reach a reciprocal level to the limitless love God. Our guidance is the promise of that love. All we need to do is ask. And asking is, of course, an action. My brothers and sisters in Christ, do you address your fellow Catholics with that same greeting? Namely, quote, "My brothers and sisters in Christ," close quote. They are part of you as members of the mystical body. They are your spiritual relatives. We know that many of them do not go to heaven because they are indifferent or lukewarm about the faith. Christ himself said, quote, "He will vomit the lukewarm out of his mouth," close quote. The reality of today's church is that there is very little true passion. Many are simply slouching their way into hell. They have become lazy, even slothful, walking a descending path towards Gehenna. We can preach to them even as members of our own parish or family, and they will still spurn us, telling us to mind our own business. And that's precisely why we must continue to get on their case. They are part of our church, our body. And through the continuous prayer, we can become living martyrs for them. Think of the many wayward and errant bishops. Do we want their skulls to become part of the litter on the pathway to hell? Even when they have been arrogant and malevolent, we must still pray for them. They are our brothers in Christ. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verses 23 through 25, the Lord spoke to his people with these stern words. This is what I commanded my people. Listen to my voice. Then I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Walk in all the ways that I command you, so that you may prosper. And some people think I use tough words. Those are very direct words coming from the Lord God. He's not asking us, telling us, keep all his commandments. No more cafeteria. No more feel good and feeble efforts. No more disobedience. The Old Testament became the New, without any changes whatsoever in doctrine or commandments. Natural law coming from God remains immutable in spite of recent heresies in the church calling for changes. Again, the Lord said, listen to my voice. Walk in all the ways that I command you. If we fail to heed those warnings, the fires of Gehenna await. Those fires will really heat you up, by the way, but way too late to overcome today's spiritual inertia. We need to take action now for ourselves, for our brothers and sisters, and for our church. Call me if you want to talk. Write to me if you want some additional ammo. But do something. Don't delay any longer. Venus. We love and deeply respect all steadfast Catholic anointed and consecrated people, bishops, priests, deacons, brothers, and nuns. Our motivation in doing these broadcasts is not to challenge or replace the teaching authority of the Magisterium, as expressed in items 84 through 100 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Our desire is to strengthen it. Our apostolate is based upon speaking and writing, with the only goal being the salvation of souls. We have no other agenda. We promise that all of our speaking and writing conforms completely to the Compendium of Faith as expressed in that catechism, which we will not alter in any way. Brothers and sisters, next week, our topic will be forgiveness. It will be called, Can We Ever Forgive Them? You can probably think about some people that's a hard question to forgive. Can we ever forgive them? So we're going to discuss that next week at great length. Our final prayer tonight, which we alluded to earlier, but I think we're going to do it again because we want to save souls, is the prayer of St. Gertrude the Great, dictated by our Lord to release 1,000 souls from purgatory each time it is said. Please bow your heads. Eternal Father, I offer thee the most precious blood of thy divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You've been listening to Conversations with John Curry Sr. on the Forward Boldly Radio Network. We're out of time for this evening. We hope you'll join us in next week. And until then, we ask God's blessings on you, and God love you. Good night.